Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm Jay King from MassLive.com, joined today by Sam Jam Packard of WEEI. The Celtics are three games into their preseason, 2-1 now. They've already seen the Charlotte Hornets twice. We've had the Tyler Zeller game already in the preseason. Gerald Green made his debut. We are going to be talking about some wing depth. And then at the end, we're going to be doing the mystery machine. Our five choices to go on Jaylen Brown's vehicle for a road trip, which is just a random segment we've decided to implement because basketball is fun. And picking five guys, the five best guys from the week,
is fun. It's fun.
Let's start with Gerald Green. Actually, before we get to Gerald Green, this episode is brought to you by Mack Weldon, which are extremely comfortable clothes, as we'll get to later. But Gerald Green made his debut, played for the Celtics for the first time in 9 years. It wasn't a real game, but it was a preseason game, and he kind of got cooking in the third quarter.
Yeah, what was the quote that everyone tweeted out when he got cooking? Like his spurt ability. Can you explain that? Because I missed the first coming up to the pregame. I missed the first half, but it seemed like that was the new lingo everyone was throwing out. So what is spurt ability?
I mean, spurt ability is the ability to go on spurts, I would say.
where did this word come from, Jay? I understood that part, but... Oh.
I don't think it came from anywhere. I think maybe Chris Forsberg started it. Maybe Steven said it at some point, but yeah, Gerald Green has great spurt ability. He's not always good, but when he is, he can be powerfully good, as he was in the third quarter against the Charlotte Hornets.
Now, do you really think that he is going to play and get reliable minutes? Because I feel like every minute Gerald Green plays is a minute that Jaylen Brown is not developing. And it feels like, although he is that kind of scorer off the bench, and the second unit, as we've seen, may struggle to score it sometimes, is having him on your roster really that beneficial in terms of like a long-term approach? He's not a guy that the team has under contract or has bird rights on him after this year. So if he has a good year, it's going to be more difficult to re-sign him. I just don't get the long-term benefits of having Gerald Green on the team.
I'm not sure there are too many long-term benefits of having Gerald Green on the team, but I will say this. Last year in the playoffs, Avery Bradley went down, and the Celtics had nobody to replace him. There was just no other shooter. And their offense just died. It fell off a cliff, dead, immediately, gone, goodbye. Now if Avery Bradley gets hurt, it's not like this devastating thing, or it shouldn't be, because you have Terry Rozier, hopefully, who's improved. And you have Gerald Green, who can actually put the ball in the basket, which is a lot different than a lot of backup wings or even starting wings the Celtics have had over the last few years. So I understand why they want him on the team. I don't know necessarily that he gets a lot of minutes, because as we said before, Jaylen Brown, he hasn't looked like consistently great in preseason, but he's good enough that he's not going to kill your team. We've already seen that, and you want him to develop. He's a 19-year-old number three overall pick. Like that guy needs 12-15 minutes a night at least, because otherwise it's tough to grow. I think you need to invest in him. I think you need to give him minutes. I don't know where that leaves Gerald Green, because obviously Marcus Smart is going to play a ton of minutes, and Terry Rozier looks like he's going to get a fair share of time too. Where's Gerald Green in all this? I don't know. I don't know if he'll play a lot. I don't know. But it's nice to have another shooter or theoretical shooter or guy with spurt ability just in case.
Is Gerald Green the type of guy that needs consistent minutes, or is he someone who can like come in a game after not playing for the past three games and just cook and just immediately give you that 12 points? Because if he's kind of that just random irrational confidence shoot guy who can give you that random spurt that you need when sometimes when the second unit's not working, I think he's a perfect addition to the team. But if he's someone who kind of is more of a rhythm player who needs to get probably like three shifts in every game, I just don't see it really working out because, like you mentioned, there is so much wing depth and these other players need to play because they bring at least a lot more to the table just in terms of defense and all-around playing than Gerald Green does. But it's nice to see him back. It's the storyline of him starting his career here and then being really only good at dunking and then everything coming full circle. It's a nice storyline, and if Chris Forsberg can start a new phenomenon of sportability, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's crazy how many places he's gone. He's gone to Russia, China, the D League, and then like five or six NBA teams, and then he came back to the Celtics. Like his journey has been out of control. He's still only 30, which he should be older with how much he's experienced. I don't know what it'll be, but it is nice to have a guy who can score in bunches. And I was cracking up because first half he was really, really bad. He hadn't played in either of the two preseason games. He had one practice, and then they're just like, okay, Gerald, you're going to start this next game. And he looked very much like a guy who missed training camp. But it didn't faze him at all. He just kept firing and had that irrational confidence and heated up a little bit in the third quarter, started cooking, and pretty soon the Celtics were up like 15, 20 points. So he'll go on spurts like that'll make it worth it, I think. I saw some chatter on Twitter about whether Green should maybe get cut and the Celtics should keep Young and Hunter. I don't think so. Because, look, if you think Young or Hunter is going to be a player, you wouldn't have them battling for the 15th spot to begin with. So you don't think they're going to help you much long term. And short term, Gerald Green is a better player. He's a guy who can actually put the ball in the basket and has proven he can put the ball in the basket, which is something that Young and Hunter can't say. So I don't see that at all. Gerald Green is going to play some minutes for the Celtics. Whether he's in the regular rotation from night one, whether he's always in the regular rotation, I don't know. But he's better than those two guys. Even though RJ was really good against the Hornets.
Yeah, the seesaw battle of Hunter versus Young is going to be interesting. We can get into that a little bit later. But in comparing those two players to Green, it feels like Green, at least being a veteran, is hopefully he's the type of guy which is kind of the same role that Zeller's in right now, where it's like, if we turn to you, you can come in and produce, but it's not going to be something that happens every night. It feels like Hunter and Young are in the such early stages of their career where they need minutes. They need like constant time to prove themselves and improve their game. So carrying them on the roster doesn't really seem like it makes a lot, or carrying both of them on the roster doesn't make that much sense just because there's not enough time in Maine and in Boston to go around to get both those guys playing time and get actual contributions from them. Green, just as a kind of that savvy vet that you need, like can turn to at minutes, but knows that he's like a little bit, he's past his prime and knows his role. That feels like a lot more valuable to Brad Stevens. And Stevens always talks about how, and I don't know if this is just him trying to make Tyler Zeller feel better, but he likes players who can do that, who can sit out seven games in a row and then go into the game and like make a positive contribution. And I thought it was interesting that Green at least was telling, I think Abby Chin was saying this during the broadcast, that he came to Boston mostly because he was intrigued by Brad Stevens. And if that's the case, it seems like he's the type of guy who will more likely buy into his a more diminished role and thus is ultimately more valuable for the Celtics this year.
Another thing he should buy into is Mack Weldon. Okay, so I had never had Mack Weldon clothes before. I had never tried them. I had never shopped with them. They sent me a free hoodie and some socks. And you guys don't know me. I am a hoodie guy. I have like 15 hoodies. I have a regular rotation. When I used to go to the bar when I was in college, I would wear all sweats. I would be that guy, like the one where people looked at you. You were really a slob. But nice. I like nice hoodies. I'm telling you, this is the most comfortable hoodie I have ever had. It is like the softest thing. It is absolutely wonderful. Mack Weldon absolutely hooked it up. This is like unreal. Just I am a hoodie guy, and this blew my mind. So Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. Now, I'll tell you this. My shopping experience, they gave me a certain amount of money. I went out. As I kept spending, they kept giving me a higher percentage of off. So I thought I reached my limit. Nope. They cut off a little bit. I had more money to spend. I got more socks, and the socks are awesome too. Super, super comfortable. My feet have never felt that good. Like, I'm not kidding either. Like, this is honestly the nicest hoodie and that I've ever felt. And they're just super comfortable. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which I don't even know what that means. It means they eliminate odor. You don't have to smell.
Well, that sounds good.
You don't have to smell like Sam. You don't have to smell like John. Those guys are smelly guys, but me, you, we're not smelly, and we don't have to be because we can wear Mack Weldon. They want you to be comfortable. If you don't like your first pair, you can keep it. They will refund you, no questions asked. You will like your first pair though, and I'm telling you, man, like, these are unbelievable. So with Mack Weldon, we have a password where you can go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using our promo code. So not only is this the most comfortable thing you'll ever wear, but it's going to be a little cheaper because you listen to Locked On Celtics. So go to MackWeldon.com, use the promo code LOCELTICS, all caps. That's LOCELTICS, all caps, at MackWeldon.com, and you'll get 20% off. And I'm telling you, this hoodie has changed my life. It is, I'm wearing it right now as we speak. And man, I'm a hoodie guy, and this is a new level of hoodie that I have never seen before. Something else that we've never seen before, at least in the last few years for the Celtics, the amount of wing depth they've had. So we talked about Gerald Green, and there's also Jay Crowder, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. Even RJ Hunter and James Young have that size and ability to switch on the wing. So there are a lot of guys on this team that can switch a lot. And Brad Stevens tried to experiment with those lineups against the Hornets because he sat four starters and because he wanted to see what those groups could do. I forgot about Jonas Jerebko. He can switch like an MF or two. So how much does that change their defense, do you think, Sam, that they have all these guys now, whereas last year it was kind of just Crowder, Jerebko, and Evan Turner, and Smart, I guess. But there's definitely more depth there now.
I think it increases their ability to go small. It feels like last year that was a useful lineup for them, but they could only use it in certain circumstances because really the only person they could kind of use at the four in a small ball lineup was Crowder. And I think that's one of their main strategies on defense, is kind of being that smaller, more aggressive attacking team and really trying to get it out in transition. And just with the amount of depth they have now, it's just there's so many more different looks they can use. And I think it's going to be beneficial to them. Stevens always talks about kind of that positional versatility and be able to guard multiple positions. So having this many players and this many lineups that can do that just increases their ability to switch on pick and roll, and I just think makes their defense generally more dynamic.
Yeah, when you think about the guys that'll be in the rotation, really, like, Isaiah Thomas is the only one who can't switch almost everything. Like, obviously, Avery Bradley can't handle a big guy for more than, like, 2 or 3 seconds at a time. But other than that, like, you have a ton of guys that can guard different positions. Amir Johnson, Al Horford up front. Even Kelly Olynyk can stick in front of smaller guys for a few seconds at a time. Jay Crowder, like, watching him stay in front of Kemba Walker it was like, oh, man, why couldn't he have been that healthy against the Hawks last year in the playoffs? Because Jeff Teague was isolating Jay Crowder in switches and going right by him. And Crowder never gets blown by in switches, not even by the fastest point guards. Like, he was forcing Kemba Walker into some BS, and he's healthy again. And their defense could be really, really, really good. Like, there were a couple of times yesterday when the Hornets couldn't even get their entry pass into the high post. Like, they were trying to throw it to the elbow for Frank Kaminsky. Sorry, bro, Jaylen Brown's going in for a dunk. Or, sorry, bro, Jay Crowder's going in for a dunk. There's just a lot of things they can do because Brown can play the four, Jarebko can play the four, Crowder can play the four. As you said, they can go small if they want more often this year. They don't have to be limited like they were last year by the amount of minutes they could play Crowder. Now you can play other guys at that position, and it just frees Stevens to do a lot more things. I think he's going to have fun with this lineup. There's so much malleability. That right there, that's a serious SAT word. Malleability.
That's a $10 word right there.
Yeah, that's a Mack Weldon type word right there. Malleability, man. So they have just a lot of guys that can play at a lot of different places, and just more depth and more guys like that this year. I think that makes a big difference. They do, as Steven said, he was like, we got to figure out how to score when we play Marcus Smart at the one, because Marcus Smart, well, he didn't say specifically Marcus Smart at the one, but when Marcus Smart plays at the one, you can switch. If you play Al Horford at the five, you can switch literally five positions, all five of them. But they have to figure out how to score with those lineups, because they're going to be able to stop people. Stopping people isn't going to be an issue for this team, I don't think. It's going to all come down to the offense, how well they perform this season.
Well, with hopefully, if you're putting that lineup in, you're getting a lot of stops, and it's not as much of a game of half-court basketball. But, yeah, that would probably be the biggest struggle, and you hope that Avery Bradley, the newest facilitator on the team, everyone's glowing about Avery Bradley's facilitation skills, would kind of help in that lineup. But it's just interesting because last year all the depth they had was in the front court, and they had 17 different forwards, and it wasn't that helpful. Like, it's not as, like, Stevens play around with different lineups and different matchups, but it ultimately just lent itself as, like, okay, David Lee and Tyler Zeller are not very good. Let's just go with the three guys who can play. It's going to be more interesting to see the kind of how he works with the wings and mix it up, because there are more positions like on the wing. There's just so many more combinations that Stevens can run, and just giving Stevens more options is generally a good thing.
Yeah, and once Kelly Olynyk gets back, that's another layer to the second unit. I think he'll probably play in the second unit. I think the starters with Amir Johnson and Al Horford have looked so good. Even though it's just two preseason games, you don't really want to mess that up. So
I wanted to talk about that because I heard you and John talking about what to do when Olynyk gets back.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that it makes sense to kind of keep it as it is. But I was just intrigued that if you ever want that super offensive lineup, it's not necessarily something you need to start with. But just the fact that it can exist where you could put Olynyk there is great. And it comes back to what we were just saying about it just gives Stevens options. You can have the all defense lineup. You can have the all switching lineup. You can have the all shooting lineup. And that's for a coach with Brad Stevens, who's like very creative and is always working matchups and just working on the margins, trying to make that his team better by a little bit. Having this much depth from one through basically nine on the roster who can all play different positions seems very dangerous for the teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, a lot of malleability there. I have a few concerns about the bench. Like, I'm not sure they're going to be able to get good shot creation all the time. I'm not sure how they'll continue to score a lot without Isaiah Thomas, without Al Horford on the court. But there's so much potential there, and young potential and defensive potential. I'm really intrigued by that bench and what Stevens will make out of it. And I do think that ability to switch. Like, there were some possessions against Charlotte. There was one in particular in the first half where Gerald Green was just hounding someone, and he forced the ball handler out to like 30 feet. And then Charlotte called for a ball screen, Jay Crowder switched it, got on Kemba Walker, forced, like, I think it was an air ball. Kemba had some ugly nonsense when he was matched up against Jay Crowder. And boom, Celtics grabbed the rebound and they were gone. It's just, there's a lot of defensive potential there. A lot of guys, a lot of malleability. One thing that is not malleable is, I guess it is malleable because different people go on it every week, the mystery machine. So Jaylen Brown over the summer tweeted a picture of himself with his beat up van and said, who's going to ride with me in the mystery machine. So every week we're going to pick the five Celtics who earned their way onto the mystery machine. Sam, we'll start with you. Who's the number one guy on the mystery machine?
I just want to make clear, this isn't the five best players. These are just the five people you want to go on that road trip with after this last week of Celtics performances.
Yeah, and five, so people who deserve Mack Weldon clothing.
Yes.
There you go.
And one thing about you being a hoodie guy, it's absolutely the truth. When I was first came on like the Celtics beat, I wasn't really sure like what you wear. Like, is this a professional thing? Like, do I, like, you see some guys in suits, and then like I saw Jay just rocking hoodie after hoodie after hoodie, and I just became comfortable. It's like, man, you can really do this job at any clothing. And so Jay is the hoodie guy. So for him to give his seal of approval to Mack Weldon, I'm already on the website browsing right now. So you guys should go out there and use LO Celtics. But yeah. I was a huge digression. Mystery machine person number one. It's obvious. It's got to be Al Horford. I mean, just to see him in person, he deserves shotgun. He's right there with me. He's perfect. He's just everything we could ever want. He is.
Yeah. We've said it a lot. It is. It's just unreal how much he makes the offense pop, and I think his impact is going to be felt more on the offensive end because he will improve the defense, and he's rebounded like a stud for two preseason games. But that offense, like, he is just, he does so many more things so much better than Sullinger. Like, I thought Sullinger was pretty versatile. No. Al Horford is versatile. Al Horford rides shotgun in the mystery machine. Two, I'm going to go with Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley deserves to be in the mystery machine. Avery Bradley, he threw 11 assists over the first two games, which may not sound like that much until you realize that he'd only thrown 5 assists in a game 13 times over his entire career beforehand. And obviously it's just exhibition games, but he's playing limited minutes. He's throwing a lot of assists. He certainly looks more comfortable. He's even running some pick and rolls and doing it well. So Avery Bradley, who always adds a wrinkle to his game every offseason, come aboard. You're on the mystery machine. Welcome to our ride.
I thought it was awesome that, or not awesome, it's just funny that when the Celtics got Horford, we talked about how much this is going to help Isaiah and how much this impacts Isaiah. And so far, it's only been 3 games, but it seems like Horford's had a huge impact on kind of Bradley's role in the offense and just doing dribble handoffs and kind of opening up space for Bradley to operate, which is not something I saw coming, but it's a nice wrinkle, and it hopefully gets Isaiah off the ball a little more.
Everything's so much easier with Horford on the court. It really is. Like, when you look at how much the defense reacts to what he does versus how much they used to react to Amir Johnson and Jared Sullinger, it's incredible. It really is. Like, it's not even close to what it used to be, and that's a good thing for the Celtics.
All right, third person on the mystery machine, and this is all for one video that you uploaded from practice the other day. This is going to go to Marcus Smart for schooling Jaylen Brown in 3-dribble one-on-one and then letting the entire practice facility know about it. That was just hilarious. I love inter-teammate just talking smack, so that video made me laugh. And for that, Marcus Smart, come on down to the mystery machine.
That was so funny because he was making a move like putting the ball back and forth between his legs without dribbling. Like, I want to see him do that in a game. Like, just bring it out. Go wild with it, Marcus. You need a little more creativity to your game. Go with that. Talk as much smack as you want. I need to see Marcus Smart talk that much smack in a real game. Like, I need to see that. Not against a teammate. Show it to me against, like, Reggie Jackson. You know, show it to me against, who else is a good Eastern Conference point guard? Kemba Walker, whoever else. I need more smack talk from Marcus Smart. I need more smack talk from everybody on the Celtics, except for Jay Crowder. Yeah, he talks a lot of smack.
He does. That was the most kind of emotional I've seen Marcus Smart, because normally when he's in the game, he's so like laser focused that you don't really see him interacting with the other players as much. So it's nice to see him just kind of like really just shit all over Jaylen Brown's ability to play basketball. It was entertaining. It was fun. I like any time you can see personality from a player.
Everybody says Marcus Smart's like the funniest dude, but he doesn't ever show it in the media, really, and he rarely shows it on the court. So, yeah, nice to see that humor in action. Number four. Who am I going to go with number four? This is actually a tough decision. Wow. I could go with – I'm going to go with Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown deserves a ride on his mystery machine because he is going to make an impact in his rookie season. It's not going to be like he helps the Celtics win games a lot, but he's good enough to play, and he's good enough to make a difference in spurts. He doesn't have that spurt ability yet, but he can make a difference in spurts. I've been impressed by Jaylen Brown, and like he's screwed up a lot. Like he's missed some shots. He's made some defensive mistakes where he was a step too slow, especially like a few times against Jeremy Lamb. It was just like just a touch too slow. Wasn't really locked in defensively, I thought. But man, he can fly, and he does a little bit of everything. Like he can come off pick and roll. He got to the hoop off the pick and roll a couple times. He's gotten to the paint. He bodied the crap out of Roy Hibbert. He got called for an offensive foul, but absolutely like just ran over Roy Hibbert, who was a 7'2" monster. So Jaylen Brown, a very intriguing first three preseason games for him. Not necessarily like the best three games anybody's ever seen, but I'm intrigued. I'm on board for the Jaylen Brown experience.
Yeah, and I think he's going to take the kind of the pity position because his shot is still super ugly. He had a couple air balls in that last game. So it's just going to be interesting to see him that raw and that much potential develop. So I'll agree, anytime he wants to come on his own mystery machine, I welcome him.
You can't say anytime because there are going to be some weeks when we don't allow him on.
That's fair. Yeah. But he's not immediately disqualified just because he's a rookie. It's his mystery machine, and if he earns it, we'll put him on there.
There you go.
All right. The last one. Now, normally I go with like a pity person. I went with Tyler Zeller and James Young in the past. But this week, I think I'm going to change it up. Terry Rozier gets my last spot on the mystery machine.
I like it.
Because he decided to take a charge for the first time in his career and ended up with 7 stitches. That was one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah, that was so funny. I couldn't tell whether he was serious at first, but then he started laughing. I don't remember him taking a charge with the Celtics.
He's a small guy. I can't imagine why he'd be in the lane taking a charge. It makes sense, but it seems like he's getting influenced by kind of that bulldog mentality of Marcus Smart and Jay Crowder, which I think if you're a young player, it's a perfect people to look up to is kind of just grinders. So it was nice to see him. It was nice to see him bleeding from the face, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It was nice to see him kind of
nice
get
to
in
see
there.
Him bleeding from the face. Jesus. what kind of podcast is this, man?
I knew it was an absurd statement as I said it, but it was a. Yeah, it was like kind of nice to see the whole team to have that identity of they're going hard even in a preseason game, and everyone said like he could have gone back into the game after the stitches. He could have been like a hockey player, but except for like kind of that weird substitution rule, he came out during free throws. So that definitely earns a spot in the mystery machine if you're getting stitches and willing to come back in the game.
Yeah, and also, look at his shot chart. The dude is draining shots from outside. He is becoming a shooter. I I love his shot form. I've said it before. I like drool over his shot form. I don't know why. Like, there are some guys that I just really appreciate their form. He's got a pretty shot, and it's going in, and he probably deserved to be on the mystery machine even if he hadn't gotten bloodied and taken 7 stitches and been available to go back in the game if it hadn't been for a rule technicality. So, Terry Rozier, welcome to the mystery machine. Everybody else, thank you for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. If you don't subscribe to us already, go subscribe to us. Search for Locked On Celtics at iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, wherever else you listen to podcasts. We're there. Give us a 5-star rating. We deserve it. If we don't deserve it, you can pretend like we deserve it because we work for you. That's about it. Everybody should go to Mack Weldon. I'm telling you, this is like the greatest hoodie. I feel like I wore it to the Celtics game against the Hornets. I am wearing it right now as we record this podcast on Sunday. I could like work out in this. I can chill in this. I could fall asleep in this. It's just a beautiful thing. Go to MackWeldon.com. Use the promo code LOCKED, L-O Celtics, all caps, L-O Celtics, all caps, to get 20% off. And, yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.